devotees. All glories to the assembled. All glories to the assembled devotees. Thank you for joining the call. Now we will be moving on to our next session, that is Srimad Bhagavatam. So we are having today with us His Grace Baldev Das Prabhuji to give the class on Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 6, Text 18. Before we proceed to Prabhuji, I will hand over the call to Praveen Govind Prabhuji to give an introduction about Baldev Prabhuji. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, please take over the call.
Yes. Hare Krishna. My Tanvat pranams to all the devotees on the call. His Grace Baldev Prabhu is a senior brahmachari at Sri Radha Gopinath Temple, ISKCON Chowpatty. He is a disciple of His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj. Prabhuji was born in a devotee family. Academically, he has a bachelor's degree in physics. He worked for some time before dedicating his life in service of Srila Prabhupada's mission. Prabhuji is spearheading the preaching initiatives for ISKCON youth services and trains thousands of young students in the science of Krishna consciousness. He is also involved in innumerable other services like serving on the Yatra committee and leading book distribution services for ISKCON Chowpatty. He is a counselor, mentor, and guide to many devotees. He also travels internationally to countries in the African and Central American continents to spread the message of Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. Dhanvat Pranam.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhuji, for that brief introduction. I once again welcome all the devotees. And I welcome Prabhuji. I welcome His Grace Baldev Das Prabhuji for giving the class on Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhuji, please take over the call. Hare Krishna. Please accept my humble obeisances, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय हरे कृष्णा टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 5th चैप्टर नंबर 6 and text number 18. Rajan Patir Guru Alam Bhavatam Yadunam Daivam Piyakulapati Kochakin Karova Asteva manga bhagavan bhajata mukundo muktim dadati karichit smana bhakti yogam. Translation purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Sukhdev Goswami continued, "My dear King, the Supreme Person Mukunda is actually the maintainer of all the members of the Pandava and Yadu dynasties. He is your spiritual master, worshipable deity, friend, and the director of your activities. To say nothing of this, he sometimes serves your family as a messenger or servant. This means he worked just as ordinary servants do. Those engaged in getting the Lord's favor attain liberation from the Lord very easily, but he does not very easily give up you the opportunity to render direct service unto him." Purport. While instructing Maharaj Parikshit, Sukhdev Goswami thought it wise to encourage the king because the king might be thinking of the glorious position of various royal dynasties, especially glorious is the dynasty of Priyavrat, in which the Supreme Lord Rishabhdev incarnated. Similarly, the family of Uttanapad Maharaj, the father of Maharaj Dhruva, is also glorious due to King Prithu's taking birth in it. The dynasty of Maharaj Raghu is glorified because Lord Ramachandra appeared in that family. As far as the Yadu and the Kuru dynasties are concerned, they existed simultaneously. But of the two, the Yadu dynasty was more glorious due to the appearance of Lord Krishna. Maharaj Parikshit might have been thinking that the Kuru dynasty was not as fortunate as the others because the Supreme Lord did not appear in that family, neither as Krishna, Lord Ramachandra, Lord Rishabhdev, or Maharaj Prithu. Therefore, Parikshit Maharaj was encouraged by Shukadev Goswami in this particular verse. The Kuru dynasty may be considered more glorious due to the presence of devotees like the five Pandavas who rendered unalloyed devotional service. Can you scroll a little more? Thank you. Although Lord Krishna did not appear in the Kuru dynasty, he was so obligated to the Pandavas' devotional service that he acted as a maintainer of the family and spiritual master of the Pandavas. Although he took birth in the Yadu dynasty, Lord Krishna was more affectionate to the Pandavas. By his actions, Lord Krishna proved that he was more inclined to the Kuru dynasty than the Yadu dynasty. Indeed, Lord Krishna, indebted to the Pandavas' devotional service, sometimes acted as their messenger and he guided them through many dangerous situations. Therefore, Maharaj Parikshit should not have been saddened because Lord Krishna did not appear in his family. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is always inclined toward his pure devotees, and by his action, it is clear that liberation is not very important for the devotees. Lord Krishna easily gives one liberation, but he does not easily give one the facility to become a devotee. Muktim dadati karichit smana bhakti yogam. Directly or indirectly, it is proved that bhakti yoga is a basis for the supreme relationship. Can you scroll up a little more?
Prabhuji, we can see Prabhu with the Supreme Lord.
Oh, now it's okay. Look, I have got it now. Yes. Supreme relationship with the Supreme Lord. It is far superior to liberation. For a pure devotee of the Lord, mukti is automatically attained. Thank you. Thank you so much. Sorry for the inconvenience caused. Om Jnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Pada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamsha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Nabine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyatyadeshatarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gauratvishe Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyasya Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So welcome all the devotees for today's Srimad Bhagavatam class on the Bhakti Sangha conference group. The chapter is entitled Activities of Rishabhdev. Well, this is the final pastimes which we are reading in this chapter of Lord Rishabhdev as he unfolds his Leela. So we can call it as Anta Leela chapter of Lord Rishabhdev. This chapter goes very beautifully how Lord Rishabhdev specifically mentioned about how he was not interested in mystic siddhis, even though he was a wandering mendicant and all the facilities he had with himself in the Lord, but he did not display those mystic siddhis. So Srila Prabhupada takes the immediate position of how mentioning that devotees also take this lesson from Rishabhdev, and they also do not show any interest in yogic siddhis or mystic powers. So devotees don't want mystic powers, they are not interested in mystic powers, but devotees are interested in mystic, but not the mystic powers, but the Lord of the mystic, Yogeshwar. So it's a matter of our choices. You find the pure devotees of the Lord not get allured by mystical powers, mystical siddhis, or other things like mentioned here, mukti, etc. Because they are more interested in bhakti to pure Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. Srila Prabhupada very beautifully mentions why this particular verse suddenly springs in the series of verses which pertain to Rishabhdev Maharaj. Well, everything spoken about Rishabhdev Maharaj, and suddenly this verse looks little out of context. So what is the reason? And Srila Prabhupada gives the insight within the mind of Shukdev Goswami of what he sees in the feelings of Parikshit Maharaj. So we can see that how our acharyas, they can read between the lines of Srimad Bhagavatam and also perceive what's going on in the emotions and feelings of great pure devotees. So Shukdev Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj, they are playing a beautiful role here of a Bhagavatam Vakta, one who is speaker, another is Bhagavatam Shrota, one who is hearing the Bhagavatam. But between them, there is also sensitivity seen here of how Shukdev Goswami has been narrating in these beautiful cantos of various dynasties. Wonderful dynasty. And yet he feels that I should balance this up because I haven't mentioned enough about Pandavas. So it is not like Parikshit Maharaj was attached materially to the Pandavas, and therefore he had a kind of a syndrome of being Pandavas should be glorified because they are also the kings and they are also great devotees. Not like that, but the connection is that of pure devotion. Anyone would like to be anyone who has a connection with great devotees would like to love or rather love to hear about them. Just like, for example, we are all connected to Srila Prabhupada, right? And because we are connected to Srila Prabhupada, whenever we hear about Srila Prabhupada, we love to actually forward it. I've seen many times, even during lectures or let's say during some messages comes on email, if you find Srila Prabhupada being glorified by some dignitary, by some celebrity, by some acharya of some other sampradayas, we are very happy to hear about Srila Prabhupada. And you want to share it with others and how Srila Prabhupada is indeed a great soul. So perceiving this and wanting to also help or rather satisfy and please Parikshit Maharaj, Shukdev Goswami ventures into this unique verse where he says that actually yourself belong to the Pandava dynasty, the Kuru dynasty. You are also very fortunate because you have with us within your dynasty the great the five brothers, the Pandavas. So Prabhupada says that so far in this description of Shukadeva Goswami to Parikshit Maharaj, he has mentioned about the Priyavrat Maharaj dynasty where he saw that how Rishabhdev was born. He mentioned about how in the Uttanapad dynasty, in the line of Dhruva Maharaj, later Lord Prithu took incarnation. Then in the Raghu dynasty, Lord Ramachandra took incarnation. In the Yadu dynasty, Lord Krishna himself appeared. And what about the Kuru dynasty? Well, Lord has not appeared in Kuru dynasty at all. Well, Lord did not appear, or rather did not take birth in the dynasty, but Lord appeared again and again in the horizon of Kuru dynasty in Hastinapur to give shelter to his devotees, the Pandavas. So that was a unique contribution of how Kuru dynasty became famous because Lord Krishna's connection was with Pandavas, was with Pandavas were the highlight of the whole dynasty. So here it is mentioned in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says that even though Lord Krishna was not born in Kuru dynasty, but he acted as a messenger, he acted as a guide constantly to the five Pandavas. So we can see here that how even though Krishna was not born in the Kuru dynasty, but Krishna was very much obliged to the Kuru dynasty because of the presence of the five Pandavas. In fact, the five Pandavas and the whole family said Krishna was obliged. Krishna was the nephew of Kunti Maharani, right? And so Krishna was the supreme personality of Godhead, Pandavas were the devotees. And apart from that, Krishna also shared a very close family ties with the Pandavas, with Kunti Maharani as Krishna's aunt. And you will also see that Krishna was so beautifully reciprocating with the Pandavas. We have seen in Bhagavatam, we have seen in the Mahabharata, that whenever Krishna would come across the five Pandavas, Krishna would deal with each of the Pandavas in a different way as per the obligation of family ties. Krishna knew that Yudhishthir Maharaj is his elder cousin brother. So Krishna would bow down and touch the feet of Yudhishthir Maharaj. Yudhishthir Maharaj for him was a very difficult thing. But Yudhishthir Maharaj understood that Krishna has come here to set rules and regulations for everyone to follow. So he did not disagree, but he was not happy as well. So he allowed that to happen. For Arjuna and Bhimsen, Krishna was like equal. So Krishna and Arjuna and Bhimsen, when they would come, Krishna would embrace them. For Nakul and Sahadev, they were juniors. So Krishna allowed Nakul and Sahadev to touch his feet. And Kunti Maharani, then Krishna went and touched her feet as well. So this was a wonderful relation which Krishna, with his family affection, he had with the Pandavas. So the other day, just few days before, we celebrated Narsingha Chaturdashi, right? And we cannot glorify Narsingdev enough till we glorify Prahlad Maharaj. In fact, the whole seventh canto is the glorification of Prahlad Maharaj, with Lord Narsingdev appearing only for two chapters. Rest of the chapters, nothing but either the preparation to get Prahlad Maharaj comes out of the womb of his mother, And rest of them is nothing but the glories of Prahlad Maharaj, his teachings, his prayers, and finally the benediction when he is being asked to take benedictions, the beautiful benediction he asked in the form of liberating his father. So we can see that how when Prahlad Maharaj case, he was known as that person who clearly stood out from others in terms of his relationship with Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prahlad Maharaj and Hiranyakashipu, they were born in the same dynasty. Hiranyakashipu was father, Prahlad was son. The difference between the two was, Prahlad saw Lord everywhere. And Hiranyakashipu, the difference was that he could not see Lord anywhere. Even when Lord appeared as Narsingdev, he was confused who this person is, half man, half lion. So therefore, Prahlad was glorified in the Bhagavatam as that person who could see Lord's hand or Lord's presence everywhere. It is called as Krishna Mai Jagat. One who pursues Krishna in everything around him. That's called Krishna Mai Jagat. If you analyze the life of Yudhishthira Maharaj, he also was Krishna Mai Jagat. That means he always saw the hand of Lord everywhere. He could pursue everything as connected with Supreme Lord. There's a beautiful story to illustrate this point. One time, Duryodhan came to Krishna. And he said, in this field, in this kingdom of ours, I see that Yudhishthira Maharaj is very, very popular, whereas people don't appreciate me so much. Why is it so? Why people like Yudhishthira Maharaj more than me? So Krishna didn't want to give a philosophical answer to Duryodhan because he will not accept it. So Krishna decided to do a practical demonstration, kind of experiment. So he said, can you do something tomorrow when you tomorrow morning you come again to meet me with the same question? I will answer you. But tomorrow you get along with you Yudhishthira Maharaj as well. So Duryodhan did not mind. So he went back home to his room. Next morning he called Yudhishthira Maharaj and said, let's go, Krishna is calling us. So both of them came to Krishna. Krishna saw Yudhishthira Maharaj and Duryodhan and said, I wish both of you to go out and do some important research work for me. For Yudhishthira Maharaj, you go out and you look for someone worse than you. Someone who is bad or worse than you. And for Duryodhan, you go around and look for someone who is better than you. So these were the two different research things which were given for Yudhishthira and Duryodhan. So Yudhishthira and Duryodhan went around the kingdom in the evening time. They came back and both of them came alone. There was no one around them. So Krishna asked Yudhishthira Maharaj and Duryodhan, what happened? No one with you. And Yudhishthira Maharaj said, well, I went around the whole kingdom. I could not find anyone worse than me. I am the most worst person in this whole kingdom. And what about you, Duryodhan? Duryodhan said, well, I could not find anyone more qualified than me. I am the best person in this whole kingdom. So then Krishna started laughing and said, Duryodhan, now you understand that how Yudhishthira Maharaj is seeing good in everything. And because he sees good in everything, people appreciate him. And how Yudhishthira Maharaj was able to see good in everything? Can this be, can we imitate this? Can we just play like a drama on this? No, we can't do it. It has to come when someone is Krishna conscious. A Krishna conscious person naturally feels the connection of each and everything with respect to Supreme Personality of Godhead. And because Yudhishthira Maharaj was seeing Krishna Mai Jagat, everything is Krishna conscious, therefore he found everyone as better than himself. So this is how we can see that Yudhishthira Maharaj showed his great devotion to Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna. And Prabhupada says in the purport, as a result of this pure devotion, Krishna became the messenger of the five Pandavas, right? we find the beautiful story in the Mahabharata mentioned that how Krishna tried his last luck to get a truce and arrange for the Kauravas to divide the kingdom between the two parties. So then he was the one who did the last chance or last try, and that was he became a messenger, a Shanti Dut, a peace messenger. So Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead, right? And he has hundreds and thousands of energies who are his messengers, who can go around and do his work just by his will. The same Krishna, obligated by the love of the Pandavas, walks himself to the court of Duryodhan and begs on behalf of Pandavas a truce or agreement, which Duryodhan foolishly he does not accept it. So here is an example of becoming a messenger. Then the same Krishna also becomes a chariot driver of Arjuna. That's a very menial service, to become a driver of his own devotee, right? Many places we have seen, we have experienced, we have learned that how to become a driver is not an easy thing. In a billionaire's house, to become a driver may be a very reputed to be position for many, but the kind of work a driver does is actually very lowly, right? It's not a very high class job. Especially during the Pandavas' time in the Kurukshetra battle, to become a sarathi, to become a chariot driver, means he has to take care of the horses. Krishna would clean the horses, Krishna would take care of the horses, and then Krishna had to clean the chariot. And before Arjuna would come in, Krishna had to be present in front of the chariot. And then Krishna had to open the door, and give a hand, and then Arjuna would stand or walk, climb the chariot. And then because everything was happening in the battlefield, where there were a lot of shrills and sounds, so it was difficult for Arjuna to tell Krishna, move to the right, move to the left. So the only way Arjuna would indicate to the chariot driver was he would hit the charioteer on his right side with his legs, because being an archer, Arjuna was overly engaged with his hands. So he would kick the chariot driver on the right to indicate that he wants to go on the right side, which means Krishna got a lot of kicks from Arjuna. So that was a very lonely position. But Krishna was very happy. In fact, Krishna loved to have a name of his on this pastime. He became known as Partha Sarathi. You know, ISKCON temple in Delhi, we have this deity of Radha Partha Sarathi, right? Because Krishna was the chariot driver of Arjuna around this area of Delhi, right? In Kurukshetra, which is just a few hours from Delhi. So Partha Sarathi. And Prabhupada gave the name of the deity there. Prabhupada said, this temple here should have the deities of Partha Sarathi. So glorious temple. So we can see that how Lord loves to be called such a name. It may look like a very beautiful name, Partha Sarathi. Some of us may get an initiated name as Partha Sarathi Das, and we'll be so happy. But we realize the name Partha Sarathi in Sanskrit means that you're a chariot driver, you're a driver of Partha. Right? And that's not a very kind of a respectable name for a respectable person like Krishna. Right? We may have some good names, Baladev Das, or let's say Nandapriya, or Praveen, Prana Govind, whatever it may be. So it's a beautiful name, and someone calls us, hey, Baladev Das, you, the chariot, the driver of so-and-so. Looks a little kind of a not very respectable thing, but Krishna loves to be doing such menial services for his great devotees. And for the Pandavas, he did a lot of menial services. Krishna even went to the forest when the Pandavas were exiled, just to take their association and give his association to them. This was Krishna's greatness in his connection with the Pandavas. You would see that Krishna, he was so much connected with the Pandavas that Krishna would often keep changing his plans just because the Pandavas would not allow him or bound. They were binding him with love. Just like Yashoda bound Lord Damodar, so the Pandavas had bound Krishna to Hastinapur. There are many instances mentioned in the Bhagavatam where Krishna wanted to leave back to Dwarka, And he went and asked for permission. And every time there was some reason given, and Krishna agreed and stayed back. Even though everything was ready, everything was, all the paraphernalia, all the arrangements were made, but Krishna just remained there because his pure devotees, the Pandavas, wanted him to stay more. There are instances where we see that how Krishna was about to leave and Uttara comes running, that someone is, I feel like my womb is getting burned, please help me. So Krishna enters the womb and saves the child. So Krishna stays back there. Then later Kunti Maharani, she asks Krishna, please stay back. And Krishna agrees. Yudhishthir Maharaj, he asks Yudhishthir Maharaj, can I leave? Yudhishthir Maharaj, can I stay for a few more days? And Krishna gets obliged. And Krishna becomes bound by the love of the Pandavas. You find that how Krishna would often come from Dwarka to Hastinapur, quite a long distance, right? All the way from Gujarat in India to the place called as Delhi in the north of India. Very far off distance, but Krishna would immediately come. Krishna went when we see that how there was a sad news, but actually a wrong news, that the five Pandavas were killed in the house of Shalak, Varnavrata. So Krishna and Balaram went and started sobbing, crying there, even though they both knew that actually Pandavas were still living. But they just went there to take part in the funeral ceremonies or condolence meetings. So they went there. And later again they went when Pandavas came back. And you find that they were always there whenever the Yudhishthir Maharaj would call them. Like Yudhishthir Maharaj called Krishna to come for the Rajasuya Yajna. So Krishna immediately went to Balaramji there for the Rajasuya Yajna. And this way there are beautiful, beautiful place times where Krishna was obliged to stay in the house of the Pandavas. So this beautiful verse is there. Aham Bhakta Paradhina. Aham Bhakta. I am obliged to my devotee so much that I give myself. Adhina. Adhina means giving himself. Paradhina. I give it to others. Whom he gives it? Krishna says, I give myself to my pure devotees. So Krishna's example of Aham Bhakta Paradhina fits in very nicely with his relationship with the five Pandavas and Kunti and Draupadi. So if you see, actually in one sense, Shukdev Goswami has enough glorified the Kuru dynasty already. But yet out of his love for Parikshit Maharaj and his greatness, he wants to say a verse confirming here that Parikshit Maharaj, your Kuru dynasty is indeed great, because Lord Krishna acted in such a wonderful manner, acting as a simple messenger or a guide. I was analyzing the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam begins in a beautiful way of how Vyasadeva wrote the Srimad Bhagavatam. And Vyasadeva begins the Srimad Bhagavatam writing by first glorifying the Pandavas. If you analyze, the whole first canto is nothing but are the glorious activities of Pandavas and their family members. Kunti Maharani's prayers are there in first canto. Draupadi's greatness in relieving the punishment of Ashwatthama. Then we have Yudhishthir Maharaj's sorrow, and thereafter Bhishma Pitama, Bhishma Dev's great glorious instructions to Yudhishthir Maharaj on the deathbed of arrows. And therein thereafter, as soon as Krishna disappears from this planet, immediately without even thinking, Yudhishthir Maharaj just packs up and retires timely, right? The chapter in the first canto is the Pandavas retire timely. So it was timely retirement. They had actually not much, ruled the kingdom, but they felt that it's an indication for us to also leave. And meanwhile, Parikshit Maharaj now had also grown up. So he was very much trained by Yudhishthir Maharaj to take up the reins of the kingdom. So the grandson of Yudhishthir Maharaj and the Pandavas, the Parikshit Maharaj, was made the ruler. Meanwhile, all the five Pandavas retired and went. We also have the case of Dhritarashtra quitting home. So the glories of Dhritarashtra comes out because of the glories of Vidura. And who is Vidura? Vidura is yet another devotee, a pure devotee in Kuru dynasty, by whose mercy Dhritarashtra got benefited. In fact, Pandavas were so much beautifully guided that they were not only having the mercy of Krishna, but they also had beautiful guidance of Bhishma, they had guidance of Vidura, and they also had guidance of Vyasadeva. So this was a unique position of the five Pandavas in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So when Pandavas retired timely, then we see about how Parikshit Maharaj came into picture. His glorious birth, how even when he was just a small kid, they glorified all the great qualities which would come in his life later. And yet later we see Parikshit Maharaj as the unrivaled king. Yeah, Bhagavatam mentions that he had no rivals when he was the king. Everyone supported him. And how he was so powerful that Parikshit Maharaj could even defeat Kali very easily. Kali Yuga was like shivering in front of Parikshit Maharaj. He was thinking, now I'll die. And in that situation, he asked for some boons and Parikshit gave shelter anyways to him. So this is Parikshit Maharaj's greatness. And that Parikshit Maharaj, what an example he set. Just like Yudhishthir Maharaj came to know about Krishna's disappearance, he packed up and left. And when Parikshit Maharaj got a hint that he has been cursed and only 7 days to leave, he did not make any adjustment he could have done. He just left and came on the banks of Ganges. And Krishna's reciprocation with him, the great Shukadeva Goswami comes there and narrates Srimad Bhagavatam for straight next 7 days and seven nights. So this is called as perfect reciprocation of Supreme Personality of Bharat with the entire dynasty of the Pandavas, the Kuru dynasty. So we can see that how the Srimad Bhagavatam speaks essentially about the glories of great Vaishnavas. I was hearing a lecture recently and a very beautiful point came out in the lecture was how Srimad Bhagavatam is called as Nigama Kalpataru, right? Taru means tree. Kalpataru means desire fulfilling tree. So we have heard about desire fulfilling tree. Now we haven't seen a desire fulfilling tree. Good that we don't have the opportunity to see a desire fulfilling tree because we are crazy people in Kali Yuga. We might ask anything from the desire fulfilling tree and later get troubled by that desire. Like there was one person who was going in the forest. Right, and he was in the forest, and so he was very tired, he was thirsty, hungry. He just sat under a tree and he just desired, well, I'm feeling so hungry, wish I could get good food here. He didn't know that he was sitting under a kalpataru, a desire fulfilling tree. So when he asked, could I get if I could get a plate of food? And immediately because he desired, he asked for a wish under a desire tree, which he did not know, unknowingly, a big plate of full of food, a lunch plate was there in front of him. He was so happy. And he ate everything without thinking from where it has come, he ate everything. And he thought, well, I'm feeling thirsty if I can get a glass of water. He desired. And yes, pure water was there for him. So soon he figured out that there is something special in the place where I am sitting. Whatever I desire, it comes true. So he desired, if I asked for food, I got food. I asked for water, I got water. I need money as well. Let me ask for money. So immediately, so much of money started falling from the tree as if raining on him. I started collecting all the money, the huge money which he could not even hold in his hands. And suddenly a fear gripped his heart. Oh, what if thieves come here to steal from me. Oh, he desired it. And lo and behold, thieves came and they caught hold of him and looted everything he had and even killed him. So this is what is Kalpataru. Kalpataru is very simple. Just sit under a Kalpataru. Whatever you desire, it will fulfill. It will not filter those desires whether they are good for you or not good for you. Now, Bhagavatam is called not just Kalpataru, it is Nigama Kalpataru. Nigama. Ni Gama. Gama means down, to go down. Ni means not allow you to go down. The Srimad Bhagavatam is that Kalpataru which will fulfill only those desires which will take you up and not let you go down. Therefore, it is called as Amala Puranam. Yeah? And it fulfills all those desires which will take us, lead us to attraction to Krishna. And this Bhagavatam begins with glorification of the five Pandavas and the Parikshit Maharaj dynasty. So we can see here that how beautifully, indeed, Shukadeva Goswami is glorifying the dynasty of Kurus, but Kuru dynasty is actually glorified in many pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, especially first canto is dedicated to them. We find that the whole Mahabharata, which is also the fifth Veda or the Itihasas, there also the glorification of Pandavas come. So Mahabharata reflect the five Pandavas as great administrators. So if someone wants to know how to do good administration, then they can learn from Mahabharata how the five Pandavas were great administrators. However, the same five Pandavas, when they are mentioned in Bhagavatam, the Bhagavatam goes deep into their heart, not just their skills or the externals, how beautifully they administered a dharmic kingdom. Well, that is there. But they go more deeper into their inner Krishna consciousness of where, how they fared, how they were attached to Krishna. So we can find that how the five Pandavas are glorified in this way in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Without the Pandavas or the Kuru dynasty, we in this material world would have bereft of so much of wealth of Krishna conscious knowledge, right? We often refer to main two books, the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam. The Bhagavad Gita has come because of the connection of Arjuna, one of the Pandavas. And the Bhagavatam has come because of Parikshit Maharaj, who is also the descendants of Pandava, the Kuru dynasty. So we can find here how Parikshit Maharaj and the five Pandavas stand in a great light in terms of enlightening the whole world with their own example. Parikshit Maharaj's case, Parikshit Maharaj was about to die in the womb of his mother. But Krishna entered in the womb of Uttara and saved Parikshit Maharaj. Right? It is said that Parikshit Maharaj, while in the womb of his mother, first saw Krishna. If someone asks you how you came to Krishna consciousness, it's a very interesting subject matter to discuss, describe, and even hear. You always want to hear about how devotees come to Krishna consciousness. Yet we haven't seen any devotee who has said that I came to Krishna consciousness when I was in the womb of his mother. I saw Krishna there. That's Parikshit Maharaj. He saw Krishna first in the womb of his mother. Krishna protected him and saved him. That is the greatness of Parikshit Maharaj. So we were mentioning about Krishna's wonderful role as charioteer, Krishna's wonderful role as a messenger. And we have also explained that how Krishna, the Supreme Personality of God, guided the five Pandavas. Krishna's incarnation, Vyasadeva, also guided the Pandavas. Krishna's pure devotees, Vidura and Bhishma, they also guided the Pandavas. It is said that Krishna always gave Pandavas everything because he was fully obliged to the love of the Pandavas. Because Pandavas had kept Krishna as the only goal in their life. There are beautiful stories illustrating this point and how the Pandavas are completely dependent on Krishna in their life. This beautiful story of how Arjuna and Duryodhan went to Krishna to ask for his help in the battle of Kurukshetra, cutting the story short. We hear that how when Krishna gave two choices to Arjuna, whether he wanted my Narayani Sena, my full accomplished army, full of chariot drivers and special infantries, or you want me and I won't fight or take any weapon. And immediately, without even thinking twice, Arjuna asked for Krishna. So Krishna asked Arjuna, why you choose me? You could have chosen my army, what I'll do for you. And Arjuna said, we want you, Krishna. Wherever you are there, everything is there. That's a very difficult choice to make. just before the battle of Kurukshetra, when you actually don't have any army. It's very easy to choose Krishna when everything is going smooth. But in times of crisis, to choose Krishna is a tough decision, which Arjuna took it very easily. And that's why Krishna was very much obliged to them. And Krishna showed that reciprocation on the Mahabharata battle, where everything which was against the Pandavas turned into their favor. I'll tell you a nice instance of one beautiful story which comes in the commentary of Shripad Madhvacharya, where he mentions that how Krishna was right from the beginning of Mahabharata battle up to the end, always protecting the Pandavas. So one beautiful story before we end our lessons today. The story says of how before the battle began, this battle, there was an agreement or a contract to be signed between the Pandavas and the Kauravas. So from the side of Kauravas, Duryodhan came in front and he also got Shakuni, which meant there was something fishy to be happening now, because Shakuni had come instead of Bhishma, instead of Dronacharya, Duryodhan got Shakuni with him. And from here, Yudhishthira Maharaj walked in and Krishna also walked with Yudhishthira Maharaj. And both of them came, these parties came together. And who was supposed to show the contract? It was Duryodhan who had written the contract. Surprisingly, right? Duryodhan wrote the contract and he showed to Yudhishthir, kindly sign this contract before you start the battle. And Yudhishthir was a little confused, curious to know what is this contract all about. He opens the paper and starts perspiring. What is this contract? It looks to be conspiracy than the contract. He shows to Krishna. And Duryodhan says, well, why are you watching so much? Just sign it and start the battle. Are you afraid of us that you are waiting for a contract to be signed and look at the contract so deeply? Krishna looks at the contract, smiles, and tells Yudhishthira Maharaj, go ahead, sign it. What was in the contract? The contract mentioned that if any one of the Pandavas die during the course of battle, the battle is over and the Kauravas are declared the winners. However, until and unless all the 100 Kauravas died, the Kauravas are not considered, or the Pandavas will not be considered as winner. So this was one thing which was like conspiracy in the agreement. The second thing was that the battle has to end within 18 days. If it doesn't end within 18 days, which means default, the Kauravas will win. In this way, there are many, many small sub-activities, sub-acts, which are mentioned in this contract, which completely favored Duryodhan and his party. And therefore, Yudhishthira was perspiring. But Yudhishthira knew that Krishna is there with me. So he just handed over the contract to Krishna. And Krishna said, well, no problem, go ahead, sign it. And Yudhishthira very boldly signed the contract, because he knew that Krishna is there, everything will properly follow, everything will support us. So with full faith of Krishna, they began the battle. And as we know the story lineup, that indeed within 18 days, Krishna helped the Pandavas to completely finish all the 100 sons of Dhritarashtra, the Kurus. And in this way, Maharaj Yudhishthira was crowned as the great emperor of the entire Hastinapur dynasty. So we find here that how beautifully in the end the purport Srila Prabhupada says that therefore Krishna can easily give us mukti. Krishna can easily give us bhakti. Bhakti means material things. But when it comes to bhakti, Krishna makes you wait. Yes, there is a, we can call it waiting list, RAC, everything is waiting there, you know. And there is a big line there. Just like sometimes you find nowadays in many places, in vaccination, shortage of vaccines, people are standing in lines. In many countries, advanced countries, a huge line, people are waiting. Just giving an example of how much more intense than that is the line of pure devotional service. Krishna makes you wait. Because Krishna knows, once I give pure bhakti, that means I have to give myself to that person. Krishna makes us wait. So Krishna has kept the waiting list very long, very, very long. However, in this age of Kali Yuga, for this 10,000 years, somehow a small concession has come. And that concession has come through the medium of Krishna, who came as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And through Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the whole sampradaya, the whole parampara, culminating for us in Srila Prabhupada, that this concession has come where we can achieve pure devotional service very easily, provided we follow simple tenets of chanting regularly every day without fail our quota of rounds which we have given our vow to our spiritual masters, and following of the four regulative principles. And most important, as Srila Prabhupada said, not offend Vaishnavas. In this way, just by these few tenets, which we regularly do every day, day in and day out, we can achieve that which is so impossible for other in the other ages, which Krishna does not give us very easily. But Krishna nonetheless obliged, as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu hands over that to all the followers of Gaudiya Sampradaya, who make it as a regular habit of committing themselves to the principles of sadhana bhakti, as mentioned by Srila Prabhupada and our spiritual masters. So this is a beautiful shloka here, which glorifies the activities and the deeds of Pandavas, through which Parikshit Maharaj is glorified. And in this way, Sukadeva Goswami very beautifully, he brings a very jolly mood, a jovial mood in the heart of Parikshit Maharaj. Indeed, with all this dynasty, O Parikshit, your dynasty of Pandavas, they are very special. Krishna did not appear there, but Krishna nonetheless spent so much time still with them, with your dynasty, because your dynasty was full of great pure devotees. So this is specifically a verse glorifying the Kuru dynasty with Parikshit Maharaj and the five Pandavas, Kunti and Draupadi. So with this, we'll come to the conclusion of today's verse. At this time, any discussion to happen, any comments, any questions, we are open to have it. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thanks a lot for that wonderful session. So it was very good explaining about, about the battle of Mahabharata and about Krishna, how he helped the Pandavas, in what all ways Krishna has helped the Vaishnavas. So it was very relishing to hear. So let's go to question and answer. So devotees, if you have any questions, please raise your hands.
Hi Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanvat Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to Guru Maharaj. Thank you Prabhu for this wonderful class and a nice the story which runs around the battlefield and how Krishna has helped. So Prabhu, I had to ask one thing over here. See, when we are teaching kids, we first say that Krishna is our best friend, right? So then that thing gets imbibed in the innocent mind that yes, Krishna is our best friend. Then when we grow up, we have like, okay, we should not be looking Krishna as a, we should not be have that bhav. We should have always as a servant bhav. So then how will that that change from a friend to that state? Like, how should we look at Krishna with that sense?
Yeah, nice question. It looks like you are practicing Krishna consciousness from childhood and also involved in teaching children. Looks like that. So questions are very relevant like that. So thank you for the question. I'll try my best because I am not in the same field as yours. But the psychology of a child and the psychology of a grown-up person is quite different. When we small, if we compare a small child is always into playthings. For them, their friends, their playthings are more important, right? They give more value to them because they get a lot of, they get absorbed in those playthings. Yeah, parents are also important. They love parents, but they love the playthings more. So you find nowadays, we see the children, they like to see more people who are very much kind of, you know, very chivalrous heroes, right? Those are the things which attract the children a lot. Like they see documentaries or animation films of heroes, Superman, He-Man, Tarzan, and all those. And now new ones also must have come. I'm talking about those times where I was a small child. I used to watch this He-Man and Superman. Most of these He-Man, Superman were very friendly to many people. You know, they are friends to many people. They take care of them, and also kids love them. So that's how the children, they have their psychology where they always relate to a person, a great person, as a friend. They don't have so much of a gamut of knowledge where they can relate to a great person as a lover or a parent or a master or like fire assets. So that's how because that's how they're programmed, or their limitation is. Srila Prabhupada also would mention that, you know, small kids, you know, Krishna consciousness, they should be given deities to worship. So, and very, we know how that they can't worship deities very with awe and reverence like we do on the altar. They carry around the Jagannath anywhere they will go, and just hang around like this, you know, Jagannath, come, let's go, you know. So eventually, therefore, their deities are different than our deities on the altar, right? It's a completely different setup. But they love to. And suddenly, one day they become more serious while they are playing friends. So suddenly, say, tomorrow is Janmashtami, you should dress your Jagannath very nicely. So that day will become very serious. They'll worship Jagannath nicely, offer them bhoga. But after the bhoga is offered, again pick up Jagannath and go moving around here and there. So that's how they work in that fashion. So Prabhupada allowed them to worship, or rather have relationship with Krishna as a friend, relationship with the Lord as a friend. But as a child grows, then when he goes through school and other educations, then he starts understanding there are different ways of reciprocating with people. There are different relationships. Right? And this is when slowly he understands the gamut of relationships there. Then ultimately he comes to know that we begin the process of Krishna consciousness first in the mood of servitude. And then gradually grow up to the mood of friendship, or as our reciprocation or Krishna reciprocates and our relationship develops. But nonetheless, relationship with Krishna as a servant is also very exciting. It is also same as friendship also in one sense. Because yes, Krishna, it is not like our connotation of master and a servant in this material world is quite a very, very strange concept. Master, I am master. You should always hear me, right? You are my servant. So that's our conception is material world. Master is a boss, right? We go to our offices, right? And our boss is a very, he doesn't hear me, he doesn't understand me, right? These are things which you always refer to our bosses. People always cut good jokes on their boss, because boss and the employee is always the relationship is not a very smooth relationship. So that's how we see as master and servant. But Krishna as master is not exactly like that. Krishna as master is actually like a friend as well. Krishna is like a friend. Krishna runs and comes to you. Our understanding of friendship in this world is very limited to the Sakya rasa which Krishna can offer us. Yes, our friendship with our friends is not same as Krishna's friendship with us as Sakya, in Sakya rasa. It's much more developed. But we have a very small, limited understanding of Sakya rasa in terms of friendship. We also have friends who also kind of utilize us, misuse us, and also sometimes just leave us and go away. So those experiences are there in friendship with us in this material world. I have so many friends. We had our school friends, right? We had a school friend, we don't know where they were. Then we went to high school, we had our another set of friends. We were really mad after them. We wanted them anyway in our life. And then we moved on to university. We forgot them. And the university, new friends, we forgot them as well. Then we have our work, wherever we're working friends there, or neighbors. We keep moving and we have new friends. So friends keep changing. So our definition of friendship in this material world is very limited to the Sakya-ras definition of the spiritual world. So that definition which we have of material friendship in this world is actually a subset of the, in one sense, some part is already covered in the servant relationship with Krishna. Because Krishna, yes, as we see, Gajendra, he was actually asking for mercy of the Lord. He was in danger. He was in a servitude relationship. He asked for mercy and Krishna came running. Today, if you see someone doing like that, if you are in danger, someone keeps comes running, you call him a friend, you're my friend, very dear friend, you help me. A friend in need is a friend indeed. But within that Dasiras, there is friend in need is a friend indeed already. Krishna does come. Krishna reciprocates. So there is this material friendship is already part and parcel of this huge Dasiras which we experience with Krishna. So servitude with Krishna is already contains all the material rasas, plus much more. Everything is there. Krishna acts like this. You know, there's a famous Hindi or Sanskrit poem or Sanskrit verse, I would say, which is also part of the Purana. I don't know which Purana it is. Tvameva mata cha pita tvameva, tvameva bandhu cha sakha tvameva. Right? Krishna, you are my mata, you are my pita, you are my bandhu, you are my sakha. Everything is you. And this is more or less in Dasyava. It contains everything. We see Krishna as our father, our mother, right? Like an on reverence. You are a father, everything you will give me. You are a mother, everything you will give me. You are a friend, everything you always protect me. So that kind of relationship. When it develops as Sakharas, Sakharas, it becomes more thicker. It becomes more intimate. And where Krishna becomes our friend and we start fighting with Krishna. And Krishna becomes very angry on us. And it's part of a leela, part of a rasa. That's a different thing. Krishna's Sakyas, Krishna's Madhuryas. So they're very, very pure. Very pure for us to even understand what exactly it is. So with our limitation, with our understanding of this material friendship, we move on in Krishna consciousness. And yes, servitude also has part of it. And it becomes Krishna indeed satisfies us with all material rasas which we have experienced to the fullest and much more as we start our relationship with Krishna in servitude, dasiras. This is what Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is quintessence of all rasas. But when he came, he gave us the process of surrendering to Krishna, right? As a servant, dasiras. And eventually through that dasiras, serving Krishna as a servant in the mood of servitude, we develop the higher rasas as per our constitutional connection with Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you so much for the wonderful explanation. And it's really an nectarian relationship between Krishna and his devotees. Thank you so much, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Any other questions, devotees?
Again, one question because I am in the class.
Okay, Prabhuji. Devotees, any question? Hare Krishna. If no questions, so can we end the call here? Hare Krishna. Okay, Prabhuji. Let's pay our obeisances to Prabhuji. అనంతకోటి వైష్ణవ వృందకి జయ శ్రీల ప్రభుపాదకి
Hare Krishna. Thank you, everyone. Very good.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you.